Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
Consulting firm Deloitte recently issued a paper outlining how the COVID-19 pandemic has exposed new threats by cyber criminals around the world. With an increase in phishing attacks, mal spams, and ransomware attacks, some attackers are using COVID-19 as bait to impersonate brands and mislead employees and customers who download COVID-19 related applications. Some are even being tricked into downloading ransomware. Joining us now to discuss this is Jeff Hermuses, internet security expert. Jeff, thanks for joining us on the program today. What's changed in the past 6 months with regard to cyber attacks across Asia Pacific?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Glenn. Greatly appreciated. It's been a very interesting 3 to 6 months with security, particularly in Asia, which is actually rampant right now. Without being too much of an alarmist, people need to understand that attacks are way, way up over this time last year, even this time last quarter. And these criminals are using COVID as a way of gaining trust with people trying to find out more information about what's going on with COVID, how they can remain safe, et cetera. So it's best that everybody adopt a zero trust philosophy, right? Don't trust anything that you get from anybody that you don't know. Be very suspicious. And it's unfortunately one of those guilty until proven innocent things with email that you receive. And email's the most likely way you can get in touch.
Yeah. What does that look like, Jeff, in reality? You know, you receive an email, perhaps from someone, you know, someone you don't know or an organization you don't know. Then what's the typical scam or what's the typical way that they would trick you into a bad situation?
Well, it's called a phishing attack, Glenn, and what they're trying to do is get you to click, basically. It's a click philosophy, right? Click on a link, click on an attachment, click on something that will allow them to send malware into your computer and use your computer for nefarious purposes. So that's kind of, and people are clicking, you know, because they want more information. It's usually disguised as, hey, you know, information on COVID, here are the updates or whatever. And if you're not familiar with who you're getting the information from, more likely than not, it's going to be bad.
It could even be from a bank that looks like your bank or your credit card company saying, hey, we've got news for you on how you can get relief from interest rates. Or, you know, it could be a fake bank or something like that, right?
Oh, absolutely. And it could be text. It could be an attachment. And the thing is it's looking so real now. You know, before you could tell in the text there were spelling mistakes. There were structural deficiencies in the text of the email. Now it's much more sophisticated. There was actually a story recently of a Singapore woman who lost $94,000. She got phoned up by somebody who said they worked for Singtel, gave them the employee number, then sent her a DBS authorization form, you know, and basically the scam went on over 3 days. And over those 3 days, she basically released $94,000 of her money, and obviously she's not getting that back.
So. Wow, that's just frightening. We're speaking with Jeff Hermuses, internet security expert. And Jeff, I understand too that even on Facebook and some other platforms, social networking platforms, you might receive a direct message, a private message from who you think is a friend, but it's actually somebody who's hacked into their account and is maybe sending you an attachment to open up through your Facebook Messenger. And that can also lead to some sort of a phishing attack. Have you heard of those?
Phishing can be through email. It's usually through email, IM, or social media, right? And the one bit of advice I can give that is great for this actually is if you're suspicious of something, take your mouse and just put it over the person's name that sends it to you. If it's from HSBC or allegedly from HSBC, you take your mouse and you just put it over the guy's name and look at the string of the email address. More often than not, that's not going to have anything like HSBC in it, right? Or it won't be the regular HSBC email address. That is a surefire way of telling you immediately that what you just got is not from the source that you think it is.
Everybody has some sort of spyware protection, internet, you know, online protection. If they do have something already installed on their computer, what are the tools that are available through that protection that they can use? For example, could they copy the URL of some site and then put it into a URL checker or something like that, something through their current internet protection?
Yeah, I think the most important thing, which people don't realize, is it's really, really important that you keep your software up to date. And a lot of people just don't do that, right? And that's where a lot of the problems happen. You can actually check on links, and it's always good if you're not sure of something, put in HSBC scam. Anything with the word scam on the end is going to tell you right away. If, you know, it may not be up yet. If it's fairly new, obviously, you're not going to get any kind of a notice on that. But there are ways that you can check online before you do anything. But as I said earlier, just be very suspicious of everything and take a zero trust policy. And if you do that to start with, you can always check on something and go back to it later on.
Yeah. And, I've even had a situation where I got something from a bank that was supposed to be my bank. It didn't look quite right. So I called the 800 number and I told them what I had received from them. It was asking for information. And they said, no, absolutely not. We have not been sending out emails like that. So it did take a little bit of time to get through the 800 number and the menu and all that, but it was well worth it in the end because I didn't end up opening it, the attachment, and it probably saved me some grief on the back end. And I've done it with friends too that have sent me something on Facebook and it didn't look quite right. And they said, yeah, as a matter of fact, my account was hacked. Glad you didn't open it because I didn't come from that person. So there are, I think, some simple steps, right? Some pretty low tech steps that people can take to protect themselves.
Yeah, I mean, as I said earlier, the mouse thing is just the easiest way. And you just, like I said, just put over the name or have your stuff backed up, right? And that's really important. Don't back it up online. If you have it online and it's backed up, the criminals now with ransomware, they know how to disconnect that, your backup as well. So that's not a good thing. Don't click on attachments, you know, people that you trust, basically. So, and look at the simple stuff like structural, you know, grammar, you know, how they're spelling mistakes, stuff like that. If it's from a professional source, you're not going to have stuff like that happening. But people are still doing it, Glenn. It's funny, you know, even the Prince of Nigeria, right? He's still in business 20 years later. And I just
unbelievable.
He's like, last year, another $700,000 was sent to the Prince of Nigeria. That's just out of the United States. So,
oh my gosh,
they're still making money on these scams, even though everybody knows about it.
They keep doing it because it keeps working, right? So
keeps working, exactly.
We're talking with Jeff Ramuses, the internet security expert. And Jeff, you've been in this region for decades now. What are you seeing as being some of the most popular ways of businesses being extorted? Because while our personal security is, of course, important, the stakes are much higher when we look at companies being hacked or companies having some kind of ransomware attack against them.
Yeah, I mean, obviously consumers, there's less money, right? And if you just remember with cyber criminals, just follow the money, right? Where are they getting the most money from? And they're getting the most money from large corporations, large companies, but SMEs and SMBs are more vulnerable because they tend to not have their stuff backed up and their security is not up to date. A lot of it is geographical too, Glenn. The attacks seem to be a lot in Japan, Singapore, Hong Kong, where people have money, you know. Criminals don't focus so much on countries where they can't make as much money, right? And some people just, you know, for a ransomware attack, they just refuse to pay the ransom, right? But the reality is 72% of people who get a ransomware attack end up paying money. Australians, they pay for some reason, right? More than other countries. Japanese, Singaporeans, you know, they tend to pay sometimes. If it's an SME or an SMB, no, they're probably going to walk away from it, but they won't have their stuff backed up, which means hours of labor to rebuild and reimage their laptop. Yeah.
And you mentioned some of those, you know, the key countries, right? Japan, South Korea, for example, Singapore, you know, these are countries within Southeast Asia that and North Asia that are heavily dependent on internet. The internet usage is through the roof compared to many other parts of the world. So would these be the natural places that would be attacked, the natural jurisdictions that would be attacked?
I think if you look right now, Australia is the one that's getting the brunt out of it, right? Their tax, especially if you look at vertical markets, education, right, is the education market has been hit very, very hard this year. It's up like 16 times over the next two, which are health and retail, right? And that's because kids love to play games on the holidays and then they go back and try and install stuff into the network, right? And Australians tend to pay, as I said earlier on. So there's probably a higher success rate for criminals to be able to extort money out of out of Australia than other markets. But Singapore as well, to a certain degree, and Japan, right? Strangely enough, that's a big money. That's a big area for money making for cyber criminals as well.
Yeah, we're talking with Jeff Remusis, internet security expert. And Jeff, of course, the money question is, what do companies, what do businesses and employees do today to lessen the chance of being compromised as the inevitable attack may come their way?
Just got to take the precautions, right? It depends on what, if you're a customer of a bank or you're a consumer of some type, right? Just take the next, you know, very simple, as I said earlier on, just look at the name, look at the extension of the email address. Are there attachments involved? Do not click on that. Keep your software up to date. If you're a business, I would say the number one thing that's lacking that companies really, really drop the ball on is training, right? Usually if you're a new employee, you get trained when you first join, but that doesn't continue. And in the space of 1 year, the attack changes dramatically, right? So you're more apt to, the longer you're with the company, the less chance there is that you're going to be updated on the new and latest and greatest ways of cyber hacking. So I would say, like, keep your employees up to date, right? Continue on with the training and make sure that you keep the patches on with your Windows or Apple or whatever you're using to make sure that there aren't ways in for the criminal.
Of course, many executives who'd be listening to this would already have an IT staff, an IT team that was responsible for security, securing their network. We saw the Singapore government take the unusual step several years ago of pretty much banning everybody from having outside access to the internet while on their workstations, with the exception of a few computers, designated computers in various departments that could have external access to keep the Singapore government network safe. But generally speaking, I mean, most companies would have active security surveillance on their networks, would they not?
Yeah, they would, but that doesn't mean they're keeping their stuff up to date, right, and safe and secure. And let's face it, I mean, this industry, the attackers are getting a lot smarter, right, and a lot quicker. And their ways of infiltrating into a corporate network, if you look at what's going on, people are working from home a lot more over the last 6 months than they were before. So you've got Internet of Things, right? People are not out sitting inside the network or outside the network trying to get in. And that's where a lot of the problem is. And that's why attacks are up so much this year. It's not a question of if it's going to happen. The question is when it's going to happen. And if people just start thinking like that, right, then I think that they're going to take a little bit more precaution.
As and when an attack happens, what's the typical response that is effective by companies, whether it's ransomware or a massive DNS attack or phishing attack? How do they remediate whatever problem has come their way?
Yeah, and that depends very much on, you know, how quickly they are. So here's the problem. You have a piece of malware. It's been, you know, sent to your laptop. It may or may not detonate right away. The amount of time, right, the dwell time of malware on computers in Asia Pacific is over 200 days now, right? So you could be infected and not even know it, and it's just sitting there waiting to explode, right? That would go off. Then when it does go off, then if the ransomware takes place or whatever, and you infect the corporate network, then basically those guys are going to scramble. They're going to ask everybody to unplug from the network, and they're going to have to start rebuilding and rebuild. First of all, find out where it came in through, patch it up, patch that area up, and then re-image people's laptops. And that takes hours and hours, sometimes days to do, right? Which means companies are off the network. They're not making money. They're losing money, as a matter of fact. So it's a horrible thing. A ransomware attack is a horrible, horrible thing.
We're talking with internet security expert Jeff Remusis. And Jeff, you've been in this region for decades now, and you've seen many companies come and go. You've helped many tech companies come into the region. What advice do you give to Western tech companies, U.S. or European companies, that want to come to Asia? Everybody sees the opportunities here and perhaps sees diminishing opportunities elsewhere. What kind of advice do you give them if they want to open up offices in this part of the world?
Yeah, I think it's really important, Glenn, that that companies put leadership into the region and make sure you open up your headquarters, which is actually in Asia Pacific, and not in a place like Australia. A lot of American companies, when they open up here, don't realize that it's almost the same time to fly from San Francisco to Tokyo as it is from Sydney to Tokyo, right? And the expenses associated with Australia, New Zealand headquarters versus something in region is a lot more expensive. So I would say, like, put it in Singapore or Hong Kong, someplace that's regional. And obviously, Singapore is benefiting a lot with regional headquarters, and there's going to be a lot more companies coming here now. And it's a great place to be based, safe, easy to get everywhere. So make sure you put your regional headquarters in somewhere central. Number two, make sure that you have the right leadership in place. Don't try and manage that stuff at a distance, because that's a big problem, right? If you don't have leadership in Asia and you have people reporting back to the U.S., things seem to come off the rails a bit. So that would be my two pieces of advice.
Great information. Jeff, thanks so much for being with us today and giving us your insight on cybersecurity and also companies who are planning to come to the region.
Thank you for your time, Glenn. Greatly appreciated.
We've been speaking with Jeff Remuses, internet security expert.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.